Please remain standing for the reading of today's sermon text, which is 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15. You can find it printed on the back of your worship guide or in the black pew Bible that's in a seat pocket in front of you. So please open that. I really invite you to read along with me. God is speaking to the Christians of the city of Corinth in this letter from Paul. In today's verses, we learn that we can give because we know that God supplies. In the first five verses of chapter 9, Paul is taking great care to make sure that the Corinthians are joyful and willing and volunteering in their giving. It's very important to him. So as he starts verse 6, he makes this point. This is the word of God. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. You may be seated.
Let's pray. Almighty God, we know this is your word. Just as we've sung a few moments ago, speak, O Lord. We're here to listen. We ask that you would please give us ears to hear. Holy Spirit, you spoke this word long ago to your people, and we know we are here today to hear the same word. We ask that you would shed light on this word, that you would show us things that we haven't seen before. Shape our minds and renew them according to the image of Christ through this word. Holy Spirit, we need your work, because otherwise we know it falls on deaf ears. So help us, Lord, to listen. We pray, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, for the past several weeks, I know in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, we have heard a lot about giving. These two chapters in 2 Corinthians talk the most about giving and the Christian worldview of giving than any other chapters in the New Testament. So I want to qualify this preaching on 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 with this understanding that we've been reading these chapters because they are in the text that we're going through in 2 Corinthians. It's not because Town North needs money. So let's preach on that. And that's important for you to know. The past several years, God has supplied for Town North. We paid our bills. God has provided and supplied in amazing ways. We're not looking at this text because Town North needs to somehow meet a budget for the end of the year. That's not what this is. So please just let's qualify that right off the top. God has supplied for Town North, and he supplied for us at Town North to give in ministry. And that's really the whole point that Paul's talking about here. The main message is God supplies so that we can give. Yes, he provides for our needs, but he often provides more than we need so we can give and be his instrument for giving. And that's what Paul is reminding these Christians, because remember, they are giving money. They were giving money to Christians in Judea who were suffering from a famine. And he's telling them to give willfully and cheerfully. And we saw that in verse 7. Notice again what Paul says to them in verse 7. Each one of you must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. He's not looking to make an exaction here. And he says, not reluctantly, he says, willingly, not like, got to give them some money to help them out in Judea. Or not under compulsion, meaning, man, everybody else is giving. I should do that. I know I should. Paul's saying, no, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, like there's a social pressure in the church, but do it because you want to. God loves it when it comes from the heart, this joy that says, God, I love to give to your people. You provided for me, and Lord, I want to give as you've given to me. Paul's reminding these Christians why they give, because God has given to them. God supplies. Paul's giving them another reason why they give in this chapter. And it's due to the fundamental belief that God will supply and has supplied for your needs. God supplies, is his point. And think of it. Whenever you give money, you're losing the use of that money. And that can make you a little nervous, doesn't it? I mean, think about it. It's often why we want to hold on to our money, because we're wondering, will I have enough? When we hold on to money, we've got some security. It gives us this hope that, I can pay the bills. Especially, it makes us feel good, right? When you have enough in a savings account for 6 months, then you know that if you lose your job tomorrow, I'm still okay. Whew, I got 6 months. I can look for a job. I can pay the bills. Everything's okay. And you have a peace of mind when you have money in savings. But when you don't have money in savings in the bank, it makes you nervous. And why do we feel that way? Because we wonder, Lord, how am I going to make it otherwise? How am I going to survive? But do you realize that thinking of, Lord, how am I going to make it otherwise? How am I going to survive? Do you realize that comes from a fundamental problem we have as human beings? The fundamental problem is this. We don't trust God. We don't trust that God's going to supply for our needs. At the end of the day, we don't believe that God's really reliable. He's not as reliable as the money I know I've got in Bank of America right now sitting in a savings account. He's not quite that reliable. As Christians, we'd never say it that way. We use Christian lingo and try to cover it up a little bit, but that's how we often feel, is I don't know if God's going to provide. And surely our world around us feels that way. As a matter of fact, that's the fundamental problem that came upon human beings when sin first entered the world in the Garden of Eden. We don't trust that God will supply for our needs. We spend our lives living in such a way in the world that we need to fend for ourselves. We need to get an inheritance from our parents somehow, or grandparents, or we need to work hard and get that job and get this money put in our savings account, or in the worst case scenario, we need to get it and we'll steal it if we have to. That's the way that mankind's been living in this world ever since the time of man's first sin. It's part of the curse. We came under a curse from God, and that part of that curse is fending for ourselves. Think about that. Isn't that what happened to Adam and Eve when they were cast out of the garden? Or think about Cain. He kills his brother Abel, and what happens? God says to him, this is the curse on you. You're going to be a fugitive and a wanderer. And what does Cain say? Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. It's a terrible way to live in this world, to try to fend for yourself without God. You've got to be God. You've got to be in control. You've got to get the money. You've got to get whatever you need. It's a terrible way to live in a world without trusting God. But do you realize, as Christians, God has done something to change all that? God has done something to change all that. What he did was he sent his son to remove the curse and bring us back into his family so that he's our father who loves us and takes care of us. What father who's a righteous or at least a good father doesn't provide for his child when they have need? God, our Father, surely will and does. And when he brings us back into the fold as children of God, he tells us, I will supply for all your daily needs. I am your God. You are my people. I love you. Would I not give you all that you need if I've given my very own son? And as children of God, we now need to trust him. But you know what? That doesn't come easily, does it? We're still living the wanderer mentality most times and the world's way of fending for ourselves. And it's not an automatic transition when you trust in Christ to really begin to trust God as your father to provide. We have a wanderer mentality is easier to hold on to than a son mentality. We struggle to believe that God's really going to supply, and those old sin patterns kick in and we go, I've got to do it or nobody's going to. Look out for number one. I got to do this. We fall into the world's fear, fend for yourself. And what Paul's doing here is addressing that very concern in these Christians. These Christians were losing some of their savings. And the Christians in Macedonia, these are the Christians in Corinth, the Christians in Macedonia were losing more. And you can imagine these Christians in Corinth who started this offering a year ago were excited about it. And now they got a few more bills and they're losing their savings account and they're getting nervous. Am I going to have enough savings? What if I can't get all that I need? And they're getting nervous, and many of them are probably wondering like you do, if you say you're going to give something and then you're writing the check and you have that fear come into your mind like, ooh, this is cutting it a little close. We don't quite have as much in the checkbook as I thought. But I'm going to write this check, but it's getting a little bit beyond what I expected, and I'm a little nervous. That's likely happening to some of these Christians. So Paul's talking to them now, reminding them, wait a minute, remember, God supplies, and he supplied so that you can give. So three things he tells them, and I want you to notice this morning. First, God will supply for giving. Secondly, God will supply through giving. And thirdly, God will supply by giving. As he tells them, God will supply. God's going to supply for giving, through giving, and by giving. Notice he tells them first, God's going to supply what you need for giving. In other words, one of the main points he's saying here is that God often supplies us with more than we need for the purpose of giving. He supplies so that we may give. Look closely at what he says. Follow his logic in verses 8 to 11. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that, having all sufficiency, all that you need in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work of giving. We're going to see in a minute. As it is written, verse 9, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Listen to verse 11. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Now, follow his logic. Notice what Paul's saying in verse 8. He says to them, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency, all that you need, you may abound in every good work. What kind of good work is he talking about? He says, I'll give you an example of that from Psalm 112. Paul knew his scripture, and so he gives a quote here from Psalm 112. He says, it's like this. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Who is he talking about? Who's the he? It's the righteous man. If you go back, I would encourage you this afternoon, do a little cross check. Read Psalm 112 and see the context that Paul's taking this out of. He's not saying it out of context. He's assuming you know the context. The context there is earlier in the Psalm 112, God provides abundantly for the righteous man. And what does a righteous man do? Pulled right here. He's distributed freely. He's given to the poor. And his righteousness endures forever. The word righteousness is used many different ways in the Bible. One of them is to talk about our declared righteousness as Christians that we receive from Christ in a very technical sense. But many times in the Old Testament, especially Psalm 112, righteousness is used for moral excellence. You know, to do what's right and good. What's doing right is righteous. It's a righteous thing. The righteous man who does is a man who's God's son, child, who does what's right. And so in Psalm 112, it's telling here, God supplies. Here's a story of a righteous man in Psalm 112. God provides abundantly so his household has all that he needs. And what does he do? He distributes freely. He's given to the poor. And his righteous deeds of giving to the poor just continue because he gets a supply, he gives it out. He gets a supply, he gives it out. And his righteous deeds just continue because there's just this flow through him. That's what Paul's talking about here when he says God provides so that you can be, God provides in every way so you can be generous in every way. And then he backs up that quote from 112 in verses 10 and 11 to say that very thing. God who provides seed for the sower and bread will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase your harvest of righteous deeds, righteousness, which is giving. You'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous in every way. So notice he's using you. God uses you as a conduit to flow through. He gives, you give. He gives, you give. God will supply, Paul says. So when you give, trust the Lord supplies, and he supplied this so that you may give. And you're not going to be able to outgive God. You'll find this flow happening when you give. He continues to provide. And you know, we've seen that at Town North. 2 years ago, at our congregational meeting in 2018, I stood up here before you, many of you were at that meeting, and told you how the session decided that we were going to up our giving as a congregation to ministries by a significant amount. We used to give 10% of our money that comes into Town North, at least 10% to ministries and giving, missionaries and everything else. But we decided in 2018, we said, you know what? We're going to bump that up a notch and almost double it. Because there were some ministries that God was doing we saw were significant to be involved in, and we bumped it up to 19, near 20% from 10%. Remember, there were three ministries in particular. One, we wanted to give more to our denomination for its agencies that were giving in ministries, Mission to the World, Mission in North America, more North America, planting churches. So we upped that. And then we also said, you know what? This ministry at Reformed University Fellowship is significant. So we gave $30,000 one-time gift and then $12,000 annually, $1,000 a month to this ministry at UTD. And then there was a church plant going on that we gave significantly $10,000 a year for that. And we bumped it up. And it can make some people on the finance committee a little nervous because people are watching the money. But you know what happened? I'm here 2 years later to tell you, God supplied all that was needed for those ministries. We have not missed a bill. Why? God supplies. It's an amazing thing. I mean, this is this principle put into practice. This is the thing. God can tell us the principle in his word, and we are just supposed to believe it, right? No questions asked. But it's really nice when he even backs it up with experience, isn't it? To see like, whoa, that's really true. Look at what God did. He supplied for all of our needs. So he supplies bread for the sower. So you know what? Scatter the seed. And you know, isn't that interesting that he uses this scattering seed principle twice as an illustration. But notice he uses it to say, in the first instance, to say, when you give, you're not really losing. As a Christian, you need to think about it differently. Remember what I said earlier? When we give, we're thinking, oh, there goes the money. It's gone. I'm losing it. I could have used it before, but now it's gone. He says, no, actually, look at it in a different way and look at it this way. Look at the illustration he uses in verse 6, the sowing and reaping principle. Point is this, Paul says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. What is the principle he's talking about here? Sowing seed, right? So imagine you're a farmer in that day and you have a sack of seed and you've paid for the seed. You've got it. You bought it with your own money. You've invested in this seed. And now you're taking it and you're throwing it all in the ground. And so when you get done, your pack has no more seed in it. And you're going, I just lost all my seed. But is that really what happened? Or were you sowing the seed because someday it's going to bring a harvest and there's going to be plenty of seeds in the harvest. So I'm sowing, yeah, I'm losing it, but I'm not really losing it because I'm investing it in an income later it's going to come. So the sower who's the farmer isn't going, oh, I lost all the seed, it's gone. No, the sower is going, hey, the more seed I scatter, the more is going to come up later. That's what Paul's saying here. He's saying, think of your money that way. When you're giving, think about a sower. Don't think about you're just flushing it down the toilet. No, think of it as scattering it on the ground for God's kingdom. And the more you scatter, the more that's going to be raised up. And the more that you scatter, the more righteousness is being shown and done in your scattering. That's what we need to do as Christians when that anxiety comes. And I would say that's the practical application here for us. When you get that anxiety of writing a check or giving money to someone in need or some situation or ministry, and you feel that anxiety building of like, uh-oh, it's going to be gone. Pull out this shield that God gives you here. It says, whoa, wait a second. No, I'm not. This is not going to be losing. This is going to be scattering seed. I've got to think about this the way God tells me to think about it, not the way the world tells me to think about it. The world says, that's dumb. If you give that money away, it's gone. Do you realize you can't have it anymore? God says, no. You give. Someone who has need, you give to this need, this ministry, whatever it is, you give to that for the Lord's sake, and you know what? You're scattering seeds, so just wait for the harvest. It may come in this life. You may see it. That would be a great blessing. It may come in the life to come. But there's a principle here that's absolutely true. God says, you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. And if there's anybody that can tell us that with conviction and truth, it's God himself, right? No person could make that absolute statement, but God does say, and Jesus says it all the time, doesn't he? You know what? Sell your possessions, give money to the poor, and invest in a kingdom to come that where moth and rust do not destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. You invest in that kingdom, I'm telling you, it's going to pay back dividends. You will be paid back. Trust me, Jesus said. If that's something you can't bank on, what can you bank on? I mean, if Jesus Christ knows what this world is all about and where everything's going, that he really does, we can trust him when he says, you're scattering. You're scattering seed. Trust me, it'll come up. There will be a harvest. So Paul says first to these Christians, God will supply for giving. Supplies us what we need so that we can give. But notice also, Paul's telling them in a way that he supplies through giving. God supplies through giving. In other words, there may be times when God will supply for you through the giving of other Christians. In other words, there may be a time when you need help and you can only get supply through other Christians giving to you. We see that in our text, don't we? I mean, think about it. Not everybody spoken of here could give. There are two groups of people in this text, right? There are those in Corinth that he's talking about gave. And there are the people in Judea who received. They weren't able to give. They could only receive because they were in famine. They were in a bad spot. So the Corinthians could give, and those in Judea could only receive. And we're not told, this is the thing, God tells us in verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Notice he says, God's able to supply anything you need and make grace abound to you to give you whatever you need. But notice it doesn't tell you how. God may do it through your work, that you get a promotion and you go, wow, look at how God's provided. He may provide it in giving you a job and say, wow, thank you, God, for giving me that job. Or he may supply when you don't have a job by other Christians helping you and giving you what you need through that help, that time. That's the way it works for us as Christians sometimes, isn't it? It's hard for us to really receive that as Christians. In our American individualism, we think self-sufficiency is the ultimate good. Our pride doesn't want us to depend on anybody else, and we kind of have an aversion to it. As a matter of fact, I've seen Christians refuse help from other Christians. Have you seen it? Refuse help. No. And it sounds righteous almost at sometimes, like, no, I'll do it on my own. But not biblically. That's not a Bible's way to look at it. Like, no, you need, and just let them help you. That's where we're at sometimes as Christians. We are the ones who have to receive, and God has to give us through other Christians, and that's okay. Randy Alcorn writes a book, this book, Money, Material Possessions, and Eternity, that I was quoted earlier from the front of your worship guide. In that book, he tells this interesting story about his ministry, his Eternal Perspective Ministries, EPM. And in this ministry, they give a lot away of his, I mean, that's, if that's what you're going to teach and preach, then you better do it, right? So his ministry is a lot of it giving. So they, for this ministry, gave away his royalties from books like this Money, Possessions, and Eternity, the royalties they were giving away. And to the tune of, for the first 5 months of the year at one point, I don't know, it was a number of years ago, they gave away $100,000 in the first 5 months of the year. And then they were caught at one point, like, whoa, we're okay, we better slow down this. Something happened with the economy. It may have been 2008. And they had this shortfall suddenly in their giving to their ministry. So they had to cut back and say, oh no. And he said, a couple days later, I received a check for $500 from a missions organization that we were supporting. And he says, I felt very uncomfortable. It's like the first time I've ever gotten a check from a missions organization. They were sending it to me. And then he chuckled and realized, this is how God does it, I guess, sometimes. Sometimes you're the giver, sometimes you're the receiver. You may be the giver now. God's got you in a good, prosperous spot in your business, your work, and you're, praise God, I can do that. You may, in some other time a year from now, have the tables turned where you have to be the receiver. And that's okay, because God, that's how God uses the body, right? The giver should be knowing that and giving, it's this cross-pollination. It's like It's a Wonderful Life, right? I mean, that's one of my favorite movies. My kids don't like as much anymore, I just heard today, but I like that movie. And you remember what happens to George Bailey? You know, he was always the one giving at the Bailey Building and Loan, right? You know, she needs $20, he gives it. And so he gives, and then at the time where he's down and out, the very end, what happens? All that seed he'd sown before comes in, and there's like a basket full of money from all the people that he gave before. God can do that sometimes. You may be the giver, and some days he'll flip the tables on you, and you're the receiver, and that's okay. Sometimes that's the way it is for us. It's we're dependent on each other, and we love and serve one another and do whichever we need. So secondly, he says God supplies through giving. But thirdly, notice God supplies by giving. Verse 15. Notice what Paul says at the end of these verses. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Now, Paul in his letters oftentimes does this where he kind of breaks out in a doxology. Have you seen that? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of gods and a King of Lord of lords, a King of all kings. He breaks out in this doxology. That's similar to what he's doing here in verse 15. He tells all this about giving and how God supplies so that we can give. And then he ends with this great statement, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. What's he talking about? God's own son. You talk about a gift, Paul says. I mean, I can just imagine his wheels turning. He's thinking about the gift. These Corinthians are giving the gift to the Judeans, and then they're giving thanks and praise to God for this gift, and it reminds him, it stirs up in his train of thought, like, yeah, and think about the gift God has given to us. I mean, and then compare it to the one these Corinthians are given, God's gift is inexpressible. And I thought about that in preaching too. I was thinking, okay, how can I explain that? Like, I'm trying to express the inexpressible. Paul says it's inexpressible. I can't put words to it, but I can tell you what Paul's talking about here is his own son God sent. Do you need righteousness? God give a gift of his own son for your righteousness and all that you need. Do you need your debt of sin removed? God gave his son so your debt can be paid at the cross. Do you need perseverance and strength day in and day out? God's given you his son, Jesus Christ, who always lives to intercede for you. He's given you everything in Christ, all that you need for this life and the life to come, all poured out to you in this inexpressible gift. Now think about the logic the Bible uses about that gift. Paul says it in Romans chapter 8. Other letter that he wrote in the New Testament. And his reasoning goes something like this. A direct quote from Romans 8. He, God, who did not spare his own son as an inexpressible gift, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Notice what Paul's saying, if he didn't spare his son on the cross to take away your sins, do you really think he's not going to provide your daily bread? Would he save you to kill you? Would he save you to say, I'm going to let him starve to death? I'm not saying in God's providence every Christian or no Christian ever starves. That's not the point. The point is we don't have to worry about our Father providing for what we need when we need it. This is the beauty of this inexpressible gift. It brings us back as Christians into the family of God to begin trusting God again for his provision and saying, God, I trust you to supply. I don't know where it's going to come from tomorrow. From my vantage point, Lord, you know the savings account is empty. But Lord, you're our Lord. You didn't spare your own son. I trust you. Lord, help us provide. That's what Christians do, and they have a place to go that they can then go to bed with their head on the pillow in comfort that night, knowing I don't have any food in the refrigerator or cupboard. There's nothing, but I have a God who loves me. I have a Father who takes care of me. And all I need to do is look at the cross to see, oh yeah, he takes care of me. Oh yeah, he loves me. Will he not provide all things that I need? Father, help. And he does. Through his people, through means. He does use whatever means necessary to give for his people. Will God not supply? I mean, the answer is obvious. And that's why when we come to the table, we rejoice as Christians because it's really at the table that we see this beautiful picture of the inexpressible gift. God has given us all that we need in Christ Jesus. And if he's given us that much on the cross to take away our sins, will he not provide for your needs every day? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for being our Father who provides and we can trust. Oh Lord, help us. Help us in our times of doubt and difficulty. Lord, you know our sin and weakness. Feed our souls. Feed our souls on Christ and his inexpressible gift. To teach us day in and day out that you supply. Our trust, O God, is not in our savings accounts. Our trust, O God, is in you. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.